I've been enjoying lately thinking about the Epistle of John, especially the first Epistle of John. I believe it really is a commentary, the whole epistle, on the Lord's words, on the very night in which he was betrayed and went to the cross. Just before he went to the cross, he said that a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. He was about to leave them, not here visibly in the world, but he left them with the responsibility of doing exactly what he did. He said, I want you to love one another just like I've loved you. And the wonderful thing is he's made the provision by his Spirit to do what he bids us to do. Because the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we're divinely equipped to carry out the will of God. I've been thinking about an expression that is used in the Epistle of John, and it's used three times. I'm going to read with you the passages where it mentions this. 1 John 5, I'm reading them backwards in order as far as the Epistle of John is concerned. It says in 1 John 5 and verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record or the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The next passage is found in 1 John 4, and we read beginning with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not Jesus Christ come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereby ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak ye of the world, and the world heareth them. We are God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And then in the third chapter of 1 John, and we'll read beginning with verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. I was interested in thinking about this epistle a little bit, and it uses this expression just three times. It says that the witness of God is greater. The testimony of God is greater. It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then it says, God is greater than our heart. It makes three comparisons. Interesting comparisons, because I think they suggest to us that in them we have the way of victory over the three great enemies that we face. The Bible speaks of them repeatedly. It speaks of the great enemy we face. The world is a great enemy. Satan is a great enemy. And the flesh, or self, is a great enemy. And we're faced with these. And yet, it seems to me that the suggestion is how the victory is won. Well, it says that in 1 John 5, the witness of God is greater than the witness of man. In other words, God's word is greater than anything men have to say. You can listen to what men have to say, but men can be mistaken. God can't be mistaken about anything. Never makes any mistakes. He never has to retract a statement he's made. God's word is truth. And it says that the witness of God is greater, or the testimony of God is greater. No matter what the world may think or say about the Lord Jesus Christ, God says the person that doesn't believe what he has to say concerning his son is a liar, and the truth is not in it. The witness of God is greater, and so it gives us the possibility of victory over the world. As far as this world is concerned, I was listening just after the drive today, and I was listening to a program on the radio. It was called Super Talk. Super Nonsense would have been a better word for it, but it was Super Talk, they called it. And you listen to all that men have to say, and when men have said all that they have to say, what does it all amount to? But God's word is truth. It's everlasting. It's eternal. In fact, God says, as far as what men have to say, he says, let me give you my opinion of all that men have to say. The wisdom of this world is foolishness of God. People spend umpteen dollars to go off to these fancy universities like Harvard University, and they sit at the feet of these apostate men, and they're teaching your student, your children and my children what they call the truth. They call it science. The Bible calls it science, or falsely so-called. God says that this world, by its wisdom, do not go. So it all is boiled down to, what does it really amount to? They talk and they talk and they talk, and it reminds me of a story I heard one time about a fellow who wanted a divorce from his wife. He said, why do you want a divorce from your wife? He says, all that woman does is talk and talk and talk and talk some more. So what did she talk about? He says, she don't say. Well, that's the way it is. They talk and talk and talk, and you listen to all this garbage, you know, and what does it amount to? Well, we've got something. We've got the testimony of God. The witness of God is greater, that's what he says. Well, that takes care of the world. If we listen to what God has to say, you can stand up to anything the world has to say. Listen to what God has to say. The witness of God is greater than all that men have to say. Then it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, you know who's in the world. It says the whole world lies in the wicked one. The devil is the god of the world. That's what the scripture says. He's behind the scenes, and he's getting men to do this and that and the other, and all his false spirits are in the world, propagating a lot of nonsense. The men and people swallow the plan and sticker. We've got the answer to that. We've got a divine teacher inside operating. There's greater seed that is in you than is in the world. And because we have one inside indwelling us, we have all that is necessary, really, to stand up to the wicked one. We take our stand in the word of God, let God be true and every man a liar. And then God is greater than our heart. I like that. God is greater than men because of his wisdom. He knows everything. He's the only one that knows everything. Some people think they know everything, but God's the only one that does know everything. He knows the end from the beginning. So when he talks, you can be sure he's acting. Not everything he says. Known unto God all his works from the beginning of the world. Nothing ever catches him by surprise. Catch us by surprise. Nothing ever catches God by surprise. And then it says, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. And Satan is in this world for one purpose. The Lord says he's a liar from the beginning. His business is to tell lies. So you can listen to the lies that are being propagated, and you can listen to what God has to say in his word. And know that you have the truth. In the Spirit of God, it says, we have an unction, and John says we have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. That doesn't mean you know everything. You know the difference between what is of God and what is not of God. Because you've got an instructor inside. And when things come up, you test it by what God says in his word. You know, and God, we have the word of God to guide us, and that word of God is inspired by the Spirit of God. Because holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And the one that inspired the word of God now dwells in me. So that I'm able to comprehend through his word what is right and what isn't wrong is wrong. But everything is to be tested. It says, try the spirits whether they are of God or not. We have to test things by the word of God. And it says, God is greater than our heart. And I'm so thankful for that. Because my heart is of such a nature that sometimes I feel very warm toward the Lord. And sometimes I'm as cold as an icicle. You know, we sing in one of our hymns, our love is oftentimes low. Our joy still ebbs and flows. But peace with him remains the same. No change, Jehovah knows. We change, he changes not. Our Christ can never die. His love, not ours, the resting place. We on his truth rely. So, God is greater than our heart. I imagine Peter must have felt a little bit embarrassed after denying the Lord Jesus with those that curses, and then the Lord comes to him and says, do you love me? Man, oh man, what a time to ask that question. Huh? Do you love me? Didn't look very much like it, did he? You know, it's a wonderful, comforting thing to know that what Peter said is true. Sometimes it doesn't look like it in your life or in mine. But Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Sometimes our heart condemns us. But it says that God is greater than our heart. You know, his love is absolutely changeless. I want to think with you a little bit about these greater things. The witness of God is greater than the witness of man because it's impossible, the scripture says, for God to lie. It's impossible for God to make a mistake. It's impossible for God to forget. It's impossible for God to change his mind. So you can rely absolutely on what God says. Thy word is true. His witness is based on his infinite wisdom. What he has to say is based on the fact that he knows. What a wonderful thing it is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. John writes, beloved, believe not every spirit. And he says in verse 4, ye have overcome them, these false spirits, because not because you're so smart or clever, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he says, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in flesh, you know, there were those that were saying he was a sort of an emanation of the Spirit. He wasn't actually here in flesh and blood. But the Bible says, great is the mystery of God, is God was manifest in flesh, and only in faith. It wasn't just an emanation from anywhere. And John says that if you deny that, if you're not right in relation to the person of Christ, you're not right in anything. And that's a good test to try when these people come knocking at the door. What do you think of Christ? Where do they stand in relation to Christ? As John Newton says, you cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears to your view, As he is beloved or not, so God is disposed as to you. And mercy or wrath is your lot. So the believer, as first of all, he has a greater wisdom, because he's got God's word. Second, he has greater power, because he can't realize he can't do it in his own strength. They have the law. You know, they have what they call these promise keepers now, you know. But God tried Israel for 1,500 years on the promise keeping business, and they all flunked. So why do we think today we're able to do it? We're not able to do it. We're not able to do it in our own strength. No. It says in Romans 8, the law is fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the wonderful thing is, now we have a greater power, the Spirit of God indwelling us. And you remember what Paul says in Ephesians, he says, he is able to do exceeding abounding of all that we can think, ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is at work in our lives. What a wonderful thing it is to know that. We can't do it, but he can do it through us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have a greater power. And thirdly, we have a greater love. In 1 John 3 and verse 18, it says, let us not love in word, but in deed and in truth. Well, how are we going to love? Well, maybe we don't love as we should. He said, don't throw in the sponge. Don't give up. It says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. And he loves through us. His love is not like ours, like a roller coaster up today and down tomorrow. But his love is unchangeably the same. Nothing can ever alter his love for his own. That's a wonderfully comforting word. You've heard the story, I know, but I'm reminded of it every time I go to Man of War, because my brother Aziel has mounted on the top of his home something that was made for him by Peter Bruce. It was a weather vane, and it says on this weather vane, God is love. You remember the story about the old farmer who had that on top of his house, that God is love, and somebody said, what does it mean? That God's love is as changeable as the weather? He said, no, that isn't what it means at all. It means God is love no matter which way the wind blows. And we change. Our love changes. God's love doesn't change. We sing in all our hymns, this is a love that no tongue can teach. A love that no thought can reach. No love like his. God is its blessed source. Death ne'er can stop its course. Nothing can say its force. Matchless it is. Blessed in this love we sing, to thee our praises bring. Jesus our Lord, to thee honor and majesty now and forever be here and in heaven. We're loved with a love from which we can never be separated. Neither death nor life, it says, can be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Peter, do you love me? Well, didn't look like it. You know, sometimes, you know, we look at our feelings and, you know, we feel, but we can't trust your feelings very far. Feelings come and feelings go. And feelings are deceiving. But my word is the word of God, and naught else is worth believing. For though my heart should feel condemned for want of some good token, there is one greater than my heart, whose word cannot be broken. And what does he say? I have loved thee, and I will love you, but I have loved thee with an everlasting love. You know, our hearts, not what they should be. So you have, first of all, you have wisdom, God's word, his witness, greater than man's witness.
And secondly, you have his power. Great is he that is in you that is in the world. And third, you have his love. Whenever I think of those three, I think of the lines of a hymn that we often sing, written by that prince of hymn writers, Isaac Watts. He wrote, "Join all the glorious names of wisdom, love, and power that mortals ever knew or angels ever bore. All are too mean to speak his words, too mean to set the Savior for." So you have those three brought together, it seems to me, in this passage. Let's think a little bit about them. First of all, it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Human society depends on testimony. You could get along today without believing people. We don't know whether people are lying to us or telling the truth oftentimes. And even in court, they go in, they got 12 people to decide whether you're telling the truth or not. They listen to all of the, what we give and take, and the lawyers on both sides of the fence. There are those who intentionally deceive us, deliberately. They try to cheat us. Confidence men, shysters, and all the rest of it. I saw a sign one time in a business establishment, "In God we trust. Everybody else pays cash." So they didn't trust men too much. And when it comes right down to it, there are many men you can't trust in this world. Some people don't intentionally try to deceive you, but they do deceive you. Can you trust your car salesman? Can you trust the lawyers? Can you trust your politicians? Somebody said the politician is like a sailor, similar to the sailor. So the sailor makes up his bunk and lies in it, and the politician makes up his bunk and lies out of it. But to find people that you can trust in this world, that's no Sunday school picnic. Very, very difficult thing. But the witness of God is greater. It's greater because God, by his very nature, must tell the truth. Thy word is truth. And God not only tells the truth, because that's his nature, the Lord Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But no one knows more than God. So he's got all these facts in hand. And no one cares more than God about you and me, or about anybody. God so loved the world that he is only begotten Son. There's no one in the universe that cares for men like God cares for men. You may think you love your son or your daughter or whoever, but no one loves anyone like God loves. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Somebody said if God forgot the world for one day, we'd be in a mess. We talk about 2 weeks we haven't had any rain. Suppose we had Elijah around and he prayed for no rain and didn't have any for 3.5 years. That would be in hell, I imagine. The rain probably will come sometime or other. I think there was a little dribble today. But God bears witness, it says. What does he bear witness of? The most important thing in the world. He bears witness of his son. That's what he's going to talk about. That's what his word is about. That's what his wisdom is concerned about. Because he's the display of the wisdom of God, the scripture says. Christ is made unto us wisdom. He's the wisdom of God. He's the display of all that God is. He that has seen me, he says, hath seen the Father. And yet, John puts it here in such simple terms. Just every word, just one syllable. And everybody here, anybody anywhere can examine themselves as to where they stand. Because God says, you're either wise or you're otherwise. It all depends on what you've done with my son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son of God hath not life. That's God's testimony. You have to be a Philadelphia lawyer to understand that. God puts it in the simplest possible terms. It's your relation to His Son. And failure to believe God really is in effect an insult to God because you're calling Him a liar. Because you don't believe the testimony He's given concerning His Son. I don't believe you. If your child said that to you, you'd want to slap him in the face. You said something to him. You said, I don't believe your mother. I don't believe your dad. Yet men have the audacity to stand up for God when He testifies concerning His Son and then just don't believe it. Or neglect believing it. And there's every sin that you can ever commit. I don't care if you're a murderer or adulterer or anything else under the sun. And God will forgive any person who turns to His Son the moment they turn to His Son. But God will never forgive anyone for the sin against the Holy Ghost for believing the divine inspired Word of God concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, He says we have greater wisdom, and we have greater power. Ye are God, little children. They're little children, but they have a great godness that they have overcome. The wicked spirits, the false prophets, how'd they do it? Well, the scripture says this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. All that you need to do, according to the word of God, to win the victory over all that Satan has to say, is, to say what the Apostle Paul said in Acts 27, verse 25. I believe God. Who do you believe? I believe God, it shall be even as it was told. And in Ephesians 6, it says, above all, every other consideration, take the shield of faith. The shield of faith is, I believe God. That's the shield. Wherewith it says, we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. There's nothing that the devil or his emissaries can fire at anybody if we'll just take God at His word. That's wonderful, isn't it? Simple, but it is wonderful. If they bring not this doctrine, John says in one of his other epistles, he doesn't say, what they say may be right and good, but if they don't bring this doctrine, if they don't bring the teaching concerning the person and work of Christ, says don't bid them Godspeed. The Lord Jesus said these deceivers, the devil's emissaries, they go around in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep, but they're not sheep. They're wolves, and they're in sheep's clothing. And somebody said, you can tell the difference between a wolf and a sheep very easily, because there isn't a wolf in the world that can say baa. You can tell them by what they say or by what they don't say. Take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We used to sing a little song that went something like this. They call me old fashioned because I believe that the Bible is God's holy word, that Jesus, who lived among men long ago, is divine in the Christ of God. My sin was old-fashioned. My guilt was old-fashioned. God's love was old-fashioned, I know. But the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way through the blood that makes whiter than snow. God says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Some today say that's just butcher's doctrine. That's something that, you know, applied in the old day. But God says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then you have, you remember, it says, let us not love in word, not just pretense, but in deed and in truth. I'm sure every one of us feels oftentimes we're not what we would like to be. It says, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And how our hearts made right before God. It says they're purified by faith. It's just by taking God at His word, that our hearts are purified. So, we have three things going for us, fellow believers. God is omniscient. He knows everything. And He's my witness. I can believe His testimony, unquestioningly. God is my power. There's no greater power than God. Who is greater than God? There's no one greater. Greater is He that is in you than is in the world. He's my power for living. God is my love, my lover. He's lovely with an everlasting love, and I can never be separated from His love. My heart is not what it should be often, but God's heart never changes toward me. I love the lines of the hymn that we sing sometime. I found a friend. Oh, such a friend. So kind and true and tender. So wise a counselor in God and guide, so mighty a defender. From Him who loves me now so well, what power on earth can sever? Shall life? No. Death? No. Or hell? No. I'm His forever. God's wisdom, God's power, God's love, they're all mine. And how that should encourage us as we face the daily task that faces us. We have one who knows everything as our wisdom. We have one who has all power as the one who is our strength. And you can say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can't do it in my own strength. But He and I together, we can do it. And He's my love. I don't love Him as I should love Him. But He knows that. But the wonderful thing is, He's implanted His love in my heart. The last words of His prayer in John 17, He prayed that the love, this is to me absolutely amazing, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. By the Spirit of God, the very love of which the Father loved His Son. Now, through the Spirit, I have the capacity to love even as He loved. May God grant that we would appreciate more and more how rich we are in Christ Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, we stand amazed at Thy great love, Thy great power, Thy great wisdom. And we're thankful that we have a wisdom that far transcends anything this poor world has to offer. We have a power beyond that of Satan and all his forces because his power is limited. But we're thankful that Thou art omnipotent. We're thankful that Thou hast been pleased to set Thy love upon us. Thou hast told us in Thy word that neither death nor life or any other thing shall ever be able to separate us from Thy love which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Part us with Thy blessing and encourage us in Thyself and the sweet and sure and satisfying promises of Thy holy word, we pray. In that name of all names, the name of Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.